7:25 on a Friday morning. Joining us now at our studios is District 58A State Representative Christy Purcell. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Jeff.
Thank you so much for coming in once again today.
Thank you. Beautiful morning.
It's been a busy week at the legislature, I'm sure, again this week. You're kind of in the point, well, it's... There's a lot of work to be done at this point in February and really in March, getting some of those bigger bills and stuff together.
Yeah.
But you have passed some legislation. Let's talk about that. First of all, universal breakfast and lunch for K through 12. What is that? And if you could explain the program a little bit to us.
Sure. Yes, so this was just last night on the House floor. I'm on the Education Finance Committee, so we heard this bill come through there a few weeks ago. But basically, this program is going to be very familiar to families like mine because it's the program that existed during the pandemic. So breakfast, lunch was just available to students, whomever wants to... partake. And even in the early days of the pandemic, when we were doing school from home, you could drive up, at least at Spring Creek, you could sort of drive through the loop and the food service folks would hand us like bag lunches sort of through the car window, which was really incredible. So my family, we are probably just right around the financial line for getting free and reduced lunch, but there are all these barriers. You have to fill out a form, just sort of antiquated. This year there's a way that if you if a family is on medical assistance, it will like automatically trigger so that the school district knows how many folks have this need. And this program, the free and reduced lunch program, and what we saw in the pandemic is a federal program. So what we're doing at the state level is saying, you know, that doesn't exist at the federal level anymore, but this is still really important. And we saw kids learning better. We saw kids' behavior improve because they weren't hungry at school. And so this is also trying to eliminate the administrative costs. Instead of saying, oh, you have to fill out a form, you have to be 250% above the poverty level, it's just like, nope, if you're hungry, grab a meal. And you know, mornings are a little chaotic, at least at my house. So it's really great to just have that option of like, oh my gosh, you were finishing your homework or something else came up, you know, grab breakfast at school and not having to worry about that debt. We think it might, as we've seen in other states, might save families $800 to $1,000 of just not having to buy groceries, pack the lunches, remember those things, and have it just be available.
Now, will that be available for all students?
Yep.
For just anyone who wants to?
Exactly.
As far as feeding the children, now we won't do that if this bill passes through and is signed into law.
What do you mean?
We won't have to pay for the students' lunches.
Right.
All.
Right. So so the state will just pay for that.
Okay.
And then it's then free and available to the families. And the analogy that I heard used in committee is like, we don't ask families to pay for the paper towels or the toilet paper or the soap. That's just something that is at school that, you know, the school pays for and that the state supplies funding for. So this is just sort of adding that onto the list.
Once again, State Representative Christy Purcell is with us. Moving on to the next topic, I know clean water has been near and dear to your heart as you have been part of the Cannon River Watershed Partnership, and now it's Clean River Partners.
You got it, yeah.
Yeah. And now you have moved on to the Clean Water Council within the legislature, so that seems like a pretty good fit for you.
I'm very honored to have been appointed to the Clean Water Council. I actually applied to be on the Clean Water Council when I was executive director at, I think it was CRWP still then, right when the Walz administration came in. It's mostly citizen members. There are some two senators and two House members who are on. Apparently, they're non-voting members. So those get appointed by their body. So the speaker appointed me to Clean Water Council. We haven't had a meeting yet, but I applied as a citizen and did not get the nod from the governor. So I think I was joking with someone about like I wanted to be on the Clean Water Council so badly that I went through an entire campaign. I had to get the majority of 42,500 people to vote for me, and that's how I ended up on the Clean Water Council. So we won't, I think the first meeting, it's at the end of the month, so I will try to get caught up on what's happening over there.
All right. Explain to us what the role is. It's obviously a non-governmental institution, organization. What is their role within the state?
Well, the Clean Water Council gets millions of dollars of funding because it's from the legacy that in 2008 Minnesota voters approved this tax, this Clean Water Arts and Legacy tax. So it goes into, I mean, there's like several buckets that money goes into: arts and culture, and then clean water. So there are these funds, and that money, then the council decides where that's going to go. So we, from the Clean Water Council, has paid for, if people are familiar with the One Watershed, One Plan process, that has now resulted in the Cannon River Watershed Joint Powers Board, an organization. So the money has come from Clean Water Council for some of that water planning, for example, and other clean water projects around.
Is it, that started in 2008. I would imagine the Clean Water Council kind of developed starting at that point.
I believe so. Yeah. I believe so.
But now 15 years later, are there tangible results that we've seen? You've been in touch with the whole thing more so than anyone, I'm
yes.
sure.
there's a whole report that I got handed by the administrator of the Clean Water Council. I don't have it in front of me, but okay. I know because when the voters voted on this, I think it was like for 20 years. So I know they're looking at, okay, well, this group might end, and we want to make sure that we have these results for folks. So I don't have them at my fingertips, but I'm sure they're available online and in other places.
State Representative Christy Purcell with us. We're talking some of the legislative session. Minnesota Care, you mentioned you want to talk about that. What do you, have there been some changes made in that or some legislation made?
Yes. So I got to be part of a press conference this week, and I know there were some Northfielders who were up at the Capitol for this press conference too, but then there were too many people, so they got kind of turned away from the small press room. But we had a press conference, and it was picked up on the AP and other places to have a public option to buy in to Minnesota Care. So my family has been on all kinds of different insurance plans through the year, including Minnesota Care, buying insurance on MinSure, having the private insurance, etc. And I'm really excited. I would love for there to be universal health care, similar like we were saying, where universal meals eliminates a lot of the administrative. But this is a great step in that direction, to just have it be not have an income cap to be able to buy into the Minnesota Care program.
So it would be a buy-in. You'd pay your
yep.
healthcare premiums just like you normally
yep.
would, but you would get the advantages of having a large group.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And I believe Majority Leader Long is carrying this bill. I think he's carried it for some time. So I believe it's like sliding scale depending on your income. But we wouldn't tell someone who's perhaps of high wealth, like, you can't join this program.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of people, especially self-employed people, you only have so many options. And sometimes those, depending on your age, can be absolutely prohibitive. So we want to try to broaden the pool and make it more affordable for everyone.
Representative Purcell is with us. Food shelves. Legislation to stock the food shelves, or help stock the food shelves, mm-hmm. was that passed through or just discussed at this point?
That was passed off the House floor last night.
Okay.
So with bipartisan support, my spouse works at the Community Action Center, and he manages the food shelves, two in Northfield and one in Faribault. So this is, of course, very near and dear to my heart, and it was really wonderful to see so much bipartisan support. We know that there is incredible need. The need has not gone away since the pandemic. And in fact, with inflation and things like that, we've seen even more need, and food shelves having a hard time catching up. So I know that in the Ag Committee, we're going to be hearing bills about farm to food shelf too, to make sure that our folks in need can eat healthy local food grown mm-hmm. by their neighbors too. So I'm really excited about continuing to work in that space of food access.
Now, the food shelf bill that you passed, is that strictly a funding type thing, or is it more policy?
I believe it's a funding thing, mm-hmm. and we wanted to do it as kind of a standalone bill because we know the need is now. The need is present, and if we sort of rolled this into a big omnibus spending bill, you know, in May, that's just so many more months of families perhaps being food insecure. So hopefully this is a thing that can pass the Senate and the governor can sign it, just allocating money to these spaces that are feeding our neighbors.
Is there a companion to this working its way through the Senate now?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yep.
So it and right now the DFL does control both branches of the legislature. So we'll presume they'll come up with something that
yes.
You can present the governor.
It's amazing. I was talking to someone. We could be, we work in the same building in the Capitol, but we could be in different planets. Like I don't know what their schedule is at the Senate. I don't know what so I'm nodding because it's so I just have my head down on what's happening in the House.
Sure.
But yes, I believe that the things are moving in the Senate as well.
All right, let's move on to this coming week. Are we starting to hit some of the targets and the deadlines now, or is that a little bit later on in the month?
Because
it's almost later. We're halfway through.
Oh my gosh,
February
I know.
Already.
I know.
Okay, so a third of the way.
A third of the way. We're 6 weeks into session. It's a 20-week mm-hmm. session. We did. I got some information about first deadline, second deadline. I think those are all in March,
mm-hmm.
but it's, I don't know what day it is. I don't know. don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But.
Do you have an idea of what's coming down the pike next week, at least as far as you're concerned, in your committees and such?
Well, next week is going to be pretty exciting for me because I'm presenting my first bill. And an hour and a half later, I'm presenting my second bill. So my first bill I'll be presenting in the Ag Committee, which is a reviving a grant program for agricultural co-ops. So because of the legal structure and having like several entities, it often costs a good amount of money to try to start a co-op. So right now I'm trying to find a couple of folks who would testify on behalf and support of bringing this program back to life from the Department of Ag. And then later that afternoon in the Environment Committee, I will be presenting a bill about labeling of compostable and biodegradable packaging. So I know a lot more about the Ag Co-op side than I do about the biodegradable products, but there are people who can speak a lot to those that I will have sitting next to me. But that will be my be a big week for me, my first bill presentation.
All right. Well, we wish you the best.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to pass along while we have you here?
I don't. Well, I think last week, because we passed driver's licenses for all Monday of last week, when I came in Friday, as I said, I'm a little discombobulated mm-hmm. with my schedule. So I just wanted to make sure, I know you've run stories about it, but that in the House, we passed driver's licenses for all. I know it went through another committee in the Senate, but hoping to get that to the governor's desk because it will take some time for DMV processes and things like that to change to make sure that folks will have access to driver's licenses regardless of their immigration status and other things that have held people back.
All right. Well, thank you once again for coming in today.
Thank
Always
you so
appreciate
much.
It. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds great.
That is Rice County. Let's go with District 28A, State Representative Christy Purcell. You're listening to 95.1 The One. We've got Tim standing by.